So the worshipful life, we're going to go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Okay, so Romans 12, verse 1. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's the one verse I'm going to read. I'm going to read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So right here in Romans is this tenet, this foundational piece, right? That our bodies... And if you continue on, you see him talking about our actions and our thoughts and our choices. Okay, so not just our physical members, but he's talking about ourselves, right? Ourselves, that we can make ourselves into a sacrifice before the Lord. And in fact, that making ourselves into that sacrifice is reasonable service. It is an appropriate and right response to what the Lord has called us to do, or what the Lord has done for us. I'm sorry. It is appropriate and right response to what the Lord has done for us. Us taking our whole selves and laying it before the Lord, consecrating it to him, okay? Devoting ourselves to him is in and of itself an act of worship. So the way we live, the way we think, the way we handle our emotions, the way we handle our time, the way we handle our families, the way we handle our friendships is all worship. So if that's true, then the first question you have to ask yourself is, are all those things actually good worship in my life? Right? Because if the way we live is worship, or it's supposed to be, is that actually true for you? Is the way you show up at your job befitting being a son or a daughter of the King? Is the way you treat your family befitting someone who is loved by the Lord and says that they love him in return? Does the way you handle your time reflect that? Does the way you drive when you're late demonstrate that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? If someone were to cut you off when you are 10 minutes late for a very important appointment, and then someone else were to pull up alongside of you and look into the car, would they see the light of the glory to be found in Jesus Christ on your face? And if not, why not? Why not? See, for me, this is convicting, but it's also really empowering, okay? I'm a mom of 4 kids. There is a lot going on in our life at any given moment, okay? We are navigating and juggling a number of things. God has called us to steward a lot in our lives, okay? And then as a mom, there have been seasons where I have little to no physical strength, okay? Everybody gets their own stories with that. I'm just using the story that I have, which is that when I am pregnant, in my first trimester, I sleep no less than 10 hours a day. There is no wiggle room on that. There is, if I don't get it at night, I will fall asleep in random places. I will tell Ron that I am going to sleep for 20 minutes, like a power nap, because I do that regularly. Like just power nap. Okay, good. We're good for the rest of the time. And then this was with Than. I was pregnant with him, and I go, okay, babe, I didn't get enough sleep last night. This is, Than is baby number 4, right? Okay, so at this point, we know how life kind of goes for me when I'm pregnant. And I would tell him, I'm gonna just take a quick nap so that I can get back to things. And I would go to sleep for 20 minutes, and then I would not wake up. Okay, and then Ron would come and try to wake me up because way more time had gone past, or I would have an alarm going off, and my brain would be like trying to wake up, and my body would be like, absolutely not. Okay. After I had Than, I would just fall asleep. Like we would do, we have a bedtime routine in our house, right? We do it at 7:30 p.m., even though my kids stay up later now. We would do it at 7:30 p.m. and I would just go to sleep in the middle of it. We would be reading the Bible and then we pray in birth order and I would close my eyes to pray and I would be out, just gone. Okay? And so some of you struggle with illness. Some of you struggle with other things. Some of you have a lot of caregiving responsibilities on your plate, right? So strength looks different for everybody. But the reason why I say this is empowering, okay, is that when I was too exhausted to serve the way I would normally serve or to do the things I would normally do, what I did do was still worship and service. Okay, so maybe I didn't have the strength to do everything, but what few things I had the strength to do, God still looked at. And if I did it with the right motivations and the right attitude, it was still a beautiful fragrance to him. Okay, and so that's why I say this is convicting. It's convicting because then I look at all the areas of my life and I'm like, ooh, all of this is supposed to be worship. Am I actually worshiping with all of this? But it's also empowering because I go, all of this gets to be worship. All of this gets to be worship. So I wasn't here at church for several weeks in a row. We had the kids' dance recital, and then I was sick the next week, and then I had kids who were sick the week after, right? So I had 3 weeks in a row where I was home or not here for various reasons, right? And it would be easy to be down on yourself, oh, I haven't been in church. I'm forsaking the fellowship of the saints, right? But going to my kids' dance recital and doing that well and honoring the conversations that I had with other families that were there and celebrating the gifts and the talents that the Lord gave them was worship. Staying home and serving my kids. Even though I had every intention of being at church. Letting my decisions for that night, letting my schedule shift, letting the priorities shift, gets to be worship. Instead of being like, ugh, of course. Of course, it's been 3 weeks and of course now we're sick, right? Because it's easy to do that. Like, you're like, oh, it's always another thing. It's, oh, how many of you guys have felt like that? It's always another thing, right? It's, oh, every time this happens, okay? And you get to acknowledge that it can be an attack from the enemy. It for sure can be. But the way we navigate it still gets to be worship. It still gets to be service. It still gets to be a sacrifice before the Lord that he looks at and calls beautiful. that he looks at and calls beautiful. And so the other thing about this, if everything in our life is worship, if everything in our life gets to be service, okay, is that there's nowhere for us to run. Okay? God knows you and he sees you and he actually knows your capacity. So you might be able to fool everyone else around you because maybe you're doing more than what your capacity is and you're overstrained, or maybe you're doing way less than what your capacity is, okay? You can fool everyone else. You can even delude yourself into going, oh, there's absolutely no way that I could have handled that situation any differently. You know who you can't fool? Jesus and his eyes of fire. Right? And once again, super convicting and super empowering. Super convicting because I can delude myself into thinking that there's no possible way that I could have done more. I can delude myself into thinking I'm doing the absolute best I can. Right? So convicting, because if I ask myself that, Valerie, are you actually living in such a way that you are worshiping the Lord? Are you actually serving your kids in such a way that you're worshiping the Lord? Are you filling out the homeschool paperwork in such a way that you are worshiping the Lord? Are you making the grocery list in such a way that you are worshiping the Lord? Are you answering your emails and emptying your email box in such a way that it is worship? Right? So when I start asking myself all those things, right? And I ask the Lord, hey, search me. There's a psalm. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Right? If I ask the Lord, hey, search me, God. Let me see myself the way you see me. I start seeing the areas where I'm being delusional. Right? And I also see the areas where God gives me so much more grace than I give myself. Where God gives me so much more grace. Right? Where he's like, no, that was right. Okay? The Lord did not condemn me for not coming to church for 3 weeks in a row. He was pleased with the choices that I made. Regardless of whether I was pleased with myself or anybody else was pleased with me, right? Whether other people had to, I mean, obviously if I'm not here, other people have to do different things, right? So sometimes we have to scramble, we have to fill in the gaps, we have to fill in the holes, right? Okay, so regardless of any other thoughts about it, the Lord gave me grace. He looked at it and he said, yep, this is worship. This pleases me. And so it's convicting and it's empowering to know that there's nowhere to hide from the Lord's gaze when he's looking at your life. Convicting and empowering. So many things about the Lord are both and, right? Both convicting and empowering. Both convicting and pouring out grace and mercy on us. And so we are supposed to live in such a way that it is worship, right? It is our reasonable service. So this is an expectation. The Lord is a good, good Father like we sung tonight. And so then how do we respond? We give our lives, we give our whole selves as a sacrifice. But not only are we supposed to live to please the Lord, we're supposed to do it really, really well. The great commandment in Mark 12. Let me find that real quick. Let's start in verse 28. So Mark 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, right? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. So not just live and worship the Lord. Live with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength being your resources and your time and all that different stuff, okay? All as loving the Lord. Once again, there's no cop out. There's nowhere to run from that, okay? I may not know, like, I can't measure what all my heart is, right? I can't measure and quantify what all my strength is, but I know when I'm not doing it all, right? Like, I may not know how much I've got in the tank, okay? But I for sure know if there's still something left in the tank, right? Okay? I may not be able to go, well, all my strength means that I can do A, B, C, D, and E, like how you can tell if you're using all your money, like you know how much money you have, it's quantifiable, right? Okay, you may not be able to quantify how much strength you have or what all your soul looks like. You may not be able to itemize it and number it out, but you for sure know when you're holding something back. You for sure know when you're holding something back. And then there's times when you're doing all that you have a revelation for, right? And then all of a sudden you realize that there's a new dimension, right? And so now you have to do all that part, okay? There's been times when I didn't know something else was there, right? Like, I'll use an easy one since I've been already talking about my kids, right? Like, talk about love, right? There was a certain degree of love that I had in my heart and in my life that I was comfortable with. And then I had my first child. And now there was more in my heart. I had more love to give. And then I had a second child. And I wasn't dividing up the love I had. I wasn't like, okay, now I got to portion this out differently because Adea came along. No. There was new love for her. And then I had child number three, and I didn't have to reapportion anything. There was more love for Nekiah. And then there was more love for Nathaniel, right? And so sometimes new dimensions unlock, new revelations happen, right? As you get older, your physical strength shifts, right? It gets stronger and then it gets weaker, right? And so you can't stay at the same level that you were before. You can't stay at the same level. Every day, every week, every month, every year, you're asking God to examine your heart or examine your strength or examine all the things. And now you're giving all of that. You're not comparing yourself to somebody else, and you're not comparing yourself to some you in the past or some you in the future. Okay? You need radical self-awareness for the you that exists right now, with the capacity that you have right now, with the strength that you have right now, with the time that you have right now, with the health that you have right now, with the family obligations that you have right now, and you give all of that to the Lord. You do all of that well as worship. And 6 months later, maybe it looks completely different. And 10 years after that, it looks completely different. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength looked very different for me at 15 than it did at 25 than it did at 35. Everything was different with each of those decades that passed. Everything was different. And so I can't say at 35, oh man, I had a lot of freedom to do different things that I do not have now. Right? As a teenager, I had a lot of flexibility to do lots of different things. That looks very different now. But I have flexibility and strength that I have now that I didn't have at 15. For one thing, I have a car and I can drive, right? That opened up a whole lot of opportunities that I didn't have at 15. I may have less unencumbered open time in my schedule, significantly less at 40 than I did at 15, right? Okay, significantly less. So I can't hold myself to that standard. And God doesn't hold me to that standard. God goes, okay, Valerie at 40, married with 4 children, senior leader with your husband of a church. Between Ron and I, we run 3 businesses. Lots of things on our plate. Lots of people that we serve. He goes, are you loving me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength right now? I got pregnant with Adea when Zoe was 8 months old, 9 months old. They're 17 months apart, right? Strength was in short supply. Okay? And God goes, are you loving me with all the strength that you have? Mother of a 9-month-old, pregnant with another child, navigating health challenges. We were serving in a church at that time. We were children's pastors. Are you loving me with all that strength? He didn't look to the future and go, oh, are you loving me with 40-year-old Valerie strength? No, he was like, are you loving me with this strength? And sometimes we, can you hand me my fan? And sometimes when, thank you. Sometimes we put a weight on ourselves that God isn't even putting there. That we act like God can't even see. Or like he's somehow surprised by what we're carrying. Right? So let's say you're in the phase of the life where you're caring for an older parent, right? Okay? Like, you don't have certain times. You don't have certain resources. Okay? And then we're like down on ourselves. Oh, I can't do A, B, and C anymore. I can't do D, E, and F. And we feel like God's looking at us from heaven going, oh, she can't do A, B, and C anymore. Oh, she can't do. No, he knows what he's called us to do. There's a Christian woman's author, Elizabeth George, that I really love, right? She writes a series called A Woman After God's Own Heart, and then she goes through the different roles, like a mother after God's own heart, a wife after God's own heart, a young woman after God's own heart, all these different bits. And I got to see her speak at one point. She came to Rochester, and I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to this. And she was talking about, she has like this decision-making matrix that she does, and she was talking about it. If you've done counseling with me, you've probably gotten that decision-making matrix because I trotted out at the least provocation, I like to use it, right? But she was sharing one of the times when it wasn't, things weren't lining up for her and she was just in her feelings about it. But the reason why was her father was very sick. Her mother, I believe, had already passed. Her father was very sick. He was going into hospice care. And between her and her 2 brothers, they had determined that they didn't want their father to be alone. They wanted someone there with him all the time. They all lived in different states. And so they wanted someone to be there all the time so there was someone right there if anything happens, okay? And the 2 brothers, unknown to Elizabeth, got together and decided that Elizabeth should be there Monday through Friday and that they would alternate weekends because they worked corporate jobs and she is a writer and a traveler. Right, so they're like, okay, we'll leave the weekends free because she does conferences and stuff on the weekends, but it's easier for her to get there for a week than for us to get there for a week. And so they go, hey, we decided that you should do this. And she's upset because she feels like they're putting the primary burden on her, right? And so she's upset about this. She's just feeling like she's trying to go through the decision thing. She's just in her feelings about it. Brings it to her husband, and he goes, Elizabeth, what a beautiful opportunity for you to honor your father, which is one of the commandments. He's like, yeah, I get that. It seems unfair. Like, I understand the point, but are they wrong? It actually is easier for you to do it than for them to do it. And he says, and for sure, maybe if we still had kids at home, it would be a problem. We might have to think. He's like, but there's no reason why we can't do this. We have the money to send you back and forth. We have the flexibility to send you back and forth. And you get to spend this time honoring your father in a really beautiful way. And so that's what they did. And so she did that for months. Okay? She had to say no to a lot of other opportunities in order to be out of state, serving her father, being present Monday through Friday, week after week, for somewhere between 6 months and a year. I don't remember how long it was now, but it wasn't 3 weeks, right? It was a chunk of time. She had to say no to other opportunities. Do you think Lord in heaven was like, ah, she missed it again? She said no to that woman's conference or that woman's midweek service that was on a Wednesday. Ah, she blew it. No. He saw the sacrifice that she was making to caregive and said, this is worship and this is beauty and this is the exact right thing at the exact right moment. And I know I dwelled on that a little bit. But I hear too often people feeling like they've missed opportunities when they're living their life as worship. I'm going to say that again. I hear too often people feeling like they've missed opportunities when they're living their life as worship. And when everything is worship, no one moment is more special than the others. The Lord looks at it all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 9. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So as soon as we accept Jesus, we get a foundation in our life, right? It says that the foundation is Jesus Christ, right? So if you don't have Jesus, like, you don't get to start building this wall, right? You don't get to start building this monument, right? So the foundation is Jesus. And then once we accept Jesus, we start building something, some form of monument, a temple, a house, whatever picture's in your head, a wall. Okay, we are building, and every stone or everything that's laid in there is of different degrees of durability, okay, and value. There's wood and there's hay. So I guess it's not stones. There's wood and there's hay and there's straw. There's gold and silver and precious stones. Okay? And then one day we stand before Jesus and this thing that we have built passes through the fire. It's tried by fire. Okay? And so if it's been built with wood and hay and stubble, all of that burns up. And all that's left behind is the foundation that is Jesus and the gold and the silver and the precious stones. Right? And so it says, if your work survives being passed through the fire, you are rewarded. Right? Because you have these things that pass into eternity. But if it's burnt up, it doesn't affect your salvation. You still have the foundation, which is Jesus, but you suffer loss because this thing that you've built is now gone. Okay? So here's this picture that I have had in my brain. This is what I think. Is that every moment of every day, something gets put, I'm just going to use wall, something gets put on that wall. Every moment that passes, some form of material that represents what I did with that moment and its value before eternity gets placed down. Okay? I don't know if it's every minute. I don't know if it's every second. I don't know if it's every hour. It doesn't really matter. Okay? Every undetermined unit of time, this is a picture in my head, something goes plop, 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 and it goes down, and then another layer comes on, and then another layer comes on. And so every moment of every day, whether I'm thinking about it or not, this thing is being built. This edifice. I like that word. This edifice is being built. And so God doesn't say, oh, it's amazing things. Oh, it's only when you minister that it's gold, silver, or precious stones. Right? In Ephesians, it talks about that he has preordained good works for us before time began. And many of you have heard me say this before, is that in the Gospels, it makes it clear that Jesus only ever did what the Father told him to do. Okay? It makes it clear that everything Jesus did was under the direction of the Father. And we also know in the Gospels that Jesus took naps. Okay? And Jesus went to weddings. Okay? I say weddings plural because we have the wedding at Cana, but he wasn't like confused about what was supposed to be happening there. Right? Like, there's some things you can just infer, right? It wasn't like he was like, what do you mean they're supposed to have enough wine for the whole thing? Right? Like, he wasn't confused. He was just telling his mother, what does that have to do with me, Mom? My time hasn't yet come. He wasn't like, oh, there's supposed to be wine? Like, he wasn't surprised, right? So he's familiar with these things, okay? So he takes naps. He goes to weddings. Jewish culture has a lot of different celebrations and feasts and different things in it. He does all those things. He has an extended family that he's in relationship with. He walks places. He eats food. He works and does things, okay? He doesn't start his public ministry until he's 30, okay? So there's a bunch of other stuff. He wasn't a bum, okay, before that. All right, he was working and doing stuff. Okay, so if Jesus took naps and everything he did was directed by the Father, then that means what? Those naps were what? Worship and divinely ordained, right? See, this is what I like. Naps are ordained by God. Just let that just rest in the Lord, right? Let that soak in, okay? All right? So if all the mundane things, because it says everything in Jesus' life was directed by God. So all the big things, healing the blind, okay? Raising from the dead. All these big moments were ordained by God. But all the little things, the connective tissue of his life, walking from place to place and what route he took to get there. Every conversation he had. Every time he sat down to eat a meal. every time he walked past a field and grabbed some grain as he was walking. Every single moment was ordained by God. And so that means I can live in that way too. God obviously cares about it all because he was telling Jesus when to take naps. He was telling Jesus when to eat. He was telling Jesus when he had to leave to get to whatever place he needed to go to. So obviously, God cares about that stuff. He cares about it. So I can live in such a way that all those things are ordained by God, right? So my goal when I go through a day, remember I'm thinking every moment I'm building this thing. And so when I do the laundry, is the material that got laid on that edifice when I went on the did the laundry, gold, silver, precious stones, because I did it with an attitude of service, love for my family, and recognized that me sorting the clothes was worship? Or was it wood, hay, and stubble because I was mad and angry and annoyed that stuff didn't get separated or that the clothes were still together, or because I thought I should be doing more important things with my time? Right? It could be any of those things. So regardless of the attitude I come to it, doing the laundry, for example, put something on the wall that I'm building. What did it put? Did I do it with a pure heart? And now, boom, a sapphire got plopped up there? Or did I do it really mad and like hay got plopped up on there? But not even like the good hay, like the like crumply kind of like gross hay, and it got stuck on there, right? And can I live in such a way that moment after moment after moment after moment is just gold, silver, ruby, silver, platinum, gold, emerald, you know what I mean? Like all stuff that's gonna last, okay? Because God does not care. When you're standing before him, it does not matter. I promise you, it does not matter whether you were a stadium preacher preaching before 10,000 people, or whether you were an accountant, or whether you were somebody who always stayed at home and served somebody else. Maybe you took care of your grandparents, and then maybe you took care of your parents, and then maybe you took care of your spouse and your kids, right? When you stand before God, that's not the judgment he uses. He doesn't use, oh, well, you ministered to tens of thousands of people, so obviously your wall is built with gold. Oh, you were an accountant with like 10 clients. Your wall was built with wood. Like he doesn't, it's not the thing. It's how did you carry your heart in the things that you had to carry, right? How did you carry your heart in the things that you were called to carry, in the things that you were called to steward, right? How did you do it? And that's what determines what your building looks like. That's what determines what your wall looks like. Not did everybody else think it looked cool, but did you love the Lord your God with all your strength, even though you were pregnant and couldn't keep your eyes open for more than an hour at a time? Did you love the Lord your God with all your strength, even though you were at a job that you didn't really love but needed to stay in for the moment? Did you love the Lord your God with all your heart when you were at school getting your degree? With all your strength, did you love the Lord your God? Did you love the Lord your God with all your strength when you were widowed and now you're having to figure out how to do a bunch of things on your own that you didn't have to do before, right? We hear all these stories at women's group, so like we hear about all of our different struggles and all of our different things, right? Did you love the Lord your God with all your strength? Regardless of what that strength looked like, regardless of what those resources looked like at that time, regardless of how much time you had at that time, was and is the way you carry yourself worship? And so now I know, like, if I were to ask God to show me my thing right now, I know that there would be wood and hay and stubble and probably some really grody looking parts. Okay. Some things that look like gaps and you're like, what's having happening in that spot? Okay. I know not all of it is gold, silver, and precious stones. I am very sober about the fact that there are times in my life when I was building and I was not building well, when I was not living as it being an act of worship. I can look back at a day and go, that was a stubble moment. And still know that it gets to be different tomorrow. I have not yet passed into glory. That means there's another moment when I get to build something different. Just because I built with stubble at 12 p.m. doesn't mean I don't get to build with gold at 8 p.m. Right? At any moment, this is one of the most beautiful, empowering things before the Lord, is at any moment we can just step back on the path. We can go, oh snap, today was not a worship-filled day, and we don't have to wait till tomorrow. When we were at IHOP, we went to the International House of Prayer. Ron and I lived there for 4 years, right? And so when we were there, one of the worship leaders, we were talking about fasting, and she talked about that she had been on at one point when she was younger, she went on a 21-day juice fast, and she was on that 21-day juice fast for an entire year because she kept messing up. And instead of just going, oh, Lord, I messed up, and going, okay, day five, she kept going back to day one. Right? Okay, so she was on what she was hoping would be a 21-day juice fast. And so obviously she was eating because she kept messing it up, right? But at no point did she ever just go, okay, the 21 days ends on XYZ day. And even if there was mess ups in the middle of it, that was the 21 days. She kept trying to restart. And then she realized, what am I doing? Right? She got some revelation from the Lord. Okay. And so it's like some of us with diets or with exercise, we're like, oh, I'll start tomorrow. Oh, I'll start the resolution tomorrow. Oh, I'll start the goal tomorrow. We don't have to do that before the Lord. We get to right now go, ooh, yeah, I haven't been doing this the way the Lord called me to at all. And we get to just turn and step right back on the path. Right at that moment, we get to step right on it. Doesn't matter how many chunks of wood and hay and stubble is on our wall, it does not exclude the next thing that goes up there from being gold. You could have been wood, stubble, 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 wood, hay, stubble for like 50 things in a row, like 50 blocks. I'm going to call them blocks, even though they're not blocks, 50 blocks in a row. And God does not say that that means that now you can't have gold. Block 51 gets to be gold. It gets to be gold right away. It gets to change immediately. Right? It doesn't matter how far gone you've been. Immediately. And you get to know that God sees you. He sees where you are at. He sees what you are stewarding. He knows what job you have or don't have. He knows what money you have or don't have. He knows how much time you have or don't have. He knows the state of your health. Okay, he knows the state of your energy. He knows whether you're dealing with brain fog or whether you have clarity and how intelligent you are, right? He knows it all. He knows about the busted relationships in your life that have nothing to do with you, right? That they're messed up because the other person doesn't want to do anything different. I've got relationships like those. If they wanted to be reconciled too, we'd be reconciled. They don't want to be, so we're not. Okay? It doesn't mean I'm caring for unforgiveness or bitterness. I'm not. It just is what it is. He sees those. He sees all of those. He knows all of those. And he goes, yeah, Valerie, it still gets to be worship. It's still worship. Yep. How you carry yourself in that situation is worship. Yeah, Valerie, how you carry yourself up when you show up to work, that's worship. He sees it. He knows if your boss doesn't like you. Okay, he knows. Right? We act like things are suddenly going to be different. Okay? And the empowering thing about this is that nothing has to change in your external circumstances for you to make it worship or for you to build with gold and silver and precious stones. And you get to take that busted relationship with the boss or that coworker who doesn't like you. You get to take the energy that you don't have, okay? And the struggles that you're experiencing and the sleepless nights because your kids won't sleep through the night right now. And you get to make all of those things and the way you respond to it worship. And God is pleased by how you conduct yourself, even when nothing changes externally. Everything gets to change internally. And it gets to be worship. You get to live a worshipful life. You get to build with gold, silver, and precious stones, regardless of the way anything else looks. And so that's it. That's the message. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you've called each one of us to give ourselves to you fully. I thank you that you've called each one of us to give ourselves fully. And I thank you that that gets to look individual for each one of us because you see each one of us. That you don't call us to someone else's walk or to someone else's sacrifices. You call us to our walk and our life and our sacrifices, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters in this room. I pray that they would live lives of worship. Pray for each of my brothers and sisters who's watching online. Pray that they would live lives of worship. Empower us with your grace, God. Empower us with your grace, God. Empower us with your grace, God. Empower us with your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.